this morning to receive. God says His word not return to Him void. Amen. Good. So shall I just quickly pray. Thank you, Father God, for this time. And thank you, Father, for the opportunity. And Father, I just pray for your word to be anointed, oh God. And Father, for the word to touch and even to educate and to please, to build and to even touch hearts, oh God, this very morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good. Right. Everybody, wave at me. Good. Lovely. All right. So, it gives me an indication, number one, when you wave at me, number one, you are obedient, okay? You hear me, all right? And you are awake. Amen. That's the main thing I want to know, that you are awake. And most of all, that you have hands. Aren't we blessed? All right. You know, it's so important, you know, that we have hands. And hands is the most common part of our body. It's the most used out of all the members of our body. Who agrees with me? Some people say it's the tongue, you know? But it's quite interesting. If you come to put it into perspective, you find that the hands are the most common thing and the most used member of the body. You know, even this morning when you woke up, you put on your slippers. You know, some people just put their foot in, whereas others need to use their hands to put the slippers on. You go to the bathroom, you have to brush your teeth with a hand, you comb your hair with a hand, all right? Ladies, you make your face pretty with your hands. You know, you need it, delicate touch. And you eat with your hands. You go in the breakfast, you eat with your hands. You drive the car with your hands. You open the door, you come into church with your hands. You drink coffee, you have to lift up the cup with your hands. Isn't it? So the hands, come to think of it, is more purposeful than the actual tongue. If you put it, like I say, make a list of everything that the hand needs to do. The hand can pull the trigger. All right, or you can put the ring on the finger. The hand can drop a bomb. The hand can curse. The hand can bless, isn't it? The hand can do so much. Come to think about it. What would you do with a cell phone if you don't have hands? Eh? Think about it. Come on, ladies, guys. It's so important, especially the youngsters. They can't press buttons. They can't hold a phone. They can't put it on their ears. Can't communicate. That's right. So it's interesting. The hand is such a wonderful tool that God has given us. You know, even the deaf people, they use their hand to sign. Can you imagine? If you are deaf and you don't have hands, how you can communicate? Like was said here, it's difficult. So people, the deaf people, they use their hands to communicate. Even blind people use their hands. They acquire their hands because from the movements, from the from the using the stick, they feel the way around. So it's like a sensing thing for them. And then what do? We demonstrate our emotions with our hands, isn't it? When we're angry, we show our fists, and we love somebody, we make a love sign like this. You know, everybody knows this sign already. And even the sports people, you know, when they score a goal, they make a love sign. And then they indicate the heart, that they have a heart for things, you know. They stand in a national anthem, you know. So the hand indicates a lot of things. It shows us that we require hands. We need hands to even eat. We need hands to work. We need hands to make a living. So can you imagine without hands? Come and think about it. You can't. It's so difficult, huh? And yet we need hands. So, as you can see, here's a pair of hands. All right. Palms together, lifting up to heaven. Those are your praying hands. Anybody, or who of you know the story behind the praying hands? Let me see a show of hands. Only one. I'm surprised. I'm shocked. Do you actually know the story behind the praying hands? This is the hand sketch by Albrecht Dürer. Okay. Now, it's the hands of Albert. And Albrecht is a brother that sketched these hands diligently and accurately. Let me tell you the story behind the praying hands. What's in the 15th century, there's this family of 18. Can you imagine us having a family of 18 today? Family of 18 in the 15th century. All right, this family, the Dürer family, goldsmith by trade, by profession, he had a family of 18. And he has to work for 18 hours. So if you've got 24 kids, you've got to work for 24 hours. All right, no rest for the weekend. But he had to work for 18 hours in his profession, being a goldsmith. And any other jobs that he had that he can find, he has to jump into it, and then because he cannot sustain the family by putting food on the table. So it's a difficult situation for this family. Now there's two brothers. There's two brothers by the name of Albert and Albert. Now Albert, the two brothers had a desire to be artists. They want to go to Nuremberg in the academy to do art, to study art. And then they know that the father cannot sustain them, cannot pay for their education. So the two of them make a pact. They spend hours and hours in a little room full of other brothers and sisters. And then they made a pact. They decided. They said, all right, what we'll do is we've got to toss a coin. Whoever wins will go to the academy and to study for 4 years. And whoever loses will be the one to bring the money in so to pay for the winner's education. So after church, they tossed a coin. And then Albert was the winner. So Albert went to the academy to be educated. And then Albert went to the mines, deep in the dangerous mines, to work. Within 4 years, when Albert got his education and he was famous, his artwork was fantastic. He was even better than the professors. And he came back. The Dürer family made a big celebration for him, to welcome him back from his success and so forth. And then at the dinner table, when they're all around, joyous, singing and listening to music and laughing all the way, Albert stood up from a table, from far end of a table, and made a speech. And then he said he wanted to make a toast to the brother, Albert, for taking him through the education and then for fulfilling his part of the bargain. And he lifted up a toast and he said, thank you very much, dear brother, beloved brother, for what you have done. You know, all these 4 years, you're diligent in making me achieve my desire, my purpose in life. And he said, I make a toast to you. He said, now I have my turn, now it's your turn, and I will look after you. So while everybody was looking at Albert sitting on the other side, he was there. Tears rolled down his eyes and he shook his head and he said, no, no, no. My time has ended. And then he stood up from his chair and wiped away his tears and then put his hands on his face and he said, dear brother, thank you very much, but you know, my time is up, my time has ended. You see, the 4 years that I was in this mine, my hands, the bones in all my fingers are smashed at least once. And I have developed arthritis. And I can hardly lift up my hand to salute you and to acknowledge your toast. No, my time is over. You see, the sacrifice he has made, you know, for his brother. And then when it's his turn to come about, he cannot achieve it. And so after 450 years, you know, we find that there's a whole lot of artwork, whether it's painting, charcoal works, etc., etc. They all hang in the museum, in the famous museum around the world. But there's only one picture that we know about that is famous. And this is this picture of the praying hands. So what happened in that, during that time was that Albert dedicated by drawing meticulously Albert's hands. And he dedicated it to his brother and he named it hands. But the world acknowledged his contribution, acknowledged what has happened, acknowledged his love and his sacrifice. And by renaming it, the praying hands. Interesting, huh? So there is a big story, a wonderful story, the sacrifice, the love, a price that was paid for these hands. And so whenever you go to people's houses or to offices and you see this plaque or picture of it, it will remind you of something, isn't it? Remind you of the story. So something like this, we take for granted that, okay, it's just a praying hands, but there is a story behind it and a true story. And so it tells us that, you know, we cannot go through this world on our own. You know, we need each other. And no man's an island. We need one another. And so, these hands are precious. And I want to go to John 20:27. You know, when Jesus said, "Behold these hands," what was he saying? In what context does it relate to? You know, in John 20, it was the second meeting of Christ after his resurrection, met up with the disciples. Okay. And then Thomas was the person that Jesus said, "Behold these hands." Who knows about Thomas? Huh? The reason why he said, "Behold these hands." And what was Thomas' answer? You know, he didn't say anything. Previously, when he was with when the disciple mentioned that Jesus has come, you know, he didn't believe. He said, unless I see this and I do that, I will believe. And so when Christ said, "Behold my hands," Thomas' reply was, "My Lord and my God." And what does Jesus reply? Jesus' reply came to say, "Blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe." Blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. And we are the one sitting here this morning, believe what Christ has done for us. The sacrifice, the price, the love. All right. So dear to us that Jesus came and done this for us. And in Isaiah 49:16, it says, "Behold, I have inscribed on you on the palms of my hand." In other words, God has marked each and every one of us on the palms of his hands. Doesn't it tell you something? His sacrifice, his love for us, the price that was paid. So reassuring for each and every one sitting here this morning. You know, we are so privileged, you know. So what do you see when we see Jesus' hands? We see physical hands, isn't it? We see working hands. We see loving hands. We see healing hands. We see nail-scarred hands. We see holy hands. We see the hand of God. So this morning, I entitled my message, "The Hand of God." All right, so when we speak about the hand of God, we speak about two things mainly, all right, that I want to bring forward to you. The first thing is that God is involved in our lives. That's number one. Number two, his physical help and his strength to see us through. All right, so when I speak about the hand of God, I'm speaking about these two points. So I'm speaking to the people that know Jesus, that gave his life to Jesus. Jesus is concerned, or God is concerned with your whole life on earth. He wants to help you. He wants to strengthen you and to help you see through this life. Okay. So there's a lot of points that will be made. I'm just going to pick 7 points. As it goes through the Word of God, you see it mentions a lot about the hand of God. And then start writing it down and make a list of all that. But I'm just going to talk to you about 7 points. All right, just to encourage you this morning and to show you that God is actually looking after us. He has his hands upon our lives. You know, and most of the time we say, "Lord, I need a touch from you. Lord, I need a touch from you." And that's where the hand of God comes into play. Okay, so we know that the hand of God in John 3:35, it says that the Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. John 3:35. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Jesus loves us. God so loved the world that gave his only Son. So Jesus also loves us just as equally. And he has given us everything in life to enjoy. Who of you know that? Everything in life to enjoy. Just as the Father has given the Son everything, he has given us everything in this life to enjoy. And then on top of it, he said, "He has given you all spiritual gifts." Whatever you desire, what spiritual gift you desire, he has given us all these spiritual gifts. So, our God is gracious. Amen. Everything is placed in your hands. It's only up to you how you view things. So I believe that, let's just get this right now. The hand of God, I want to speak on the hand of God. The first point is the hand of God reaches out. As we talk more about the hand of God, now the first one will be the hand of God reaches out. In Matthew 14, 22 to 32, we know about Jesus walking on water, and then you know who also walked on water? Peter, isn't it? He also walked on water. But what happens there when he began to sink? He cried out, "Lord, save me." He cried out, "Lord, save me." And sometimes we in this life, you know, we have the same feeling. You know, we go through the situation whereby we don't know what to do, and we just cry out, "Lord, save me." And we need to sometimes. You know, we are just frail. How can I put it? Sometimes cannot stay in ourselves. Sometimes the pressure is too much. And we cry out, "Lord, save me." Girl, most of the time, cry out, "Lord, save me," especially in the work, you know. "Lord, help me," she say. And then in situation, I don't know what the situation you're in sometimes, but most of the time we do go to occasions like that, they say, "Lord, save me." And what happens? What does Jesus respond? Jesus held out his hand, grabbed hold of Peter, and held him in. So he took hold of his hand and he held him. So that is what God wants us to do in situation. In your sinking moments, when the world is falling apart, your world is falling apart, let's put it that way. And when you're down deep in the doldrums, you have this sinking feeling. What do you do? Do you cry yourself to sleep? No, don't do that. Don't cry yourself to sleep. Cry to God. Say, "Lord, save me." That's what God is there for. He wants to touch your life. He wants to refresh you, restore you, to bring you through life again, to restore you and to say, "This is the right path to go." So it's an encouragement that God's hand is always on your life and He reaches out to you. But it's for you to respond in a positive manner, isn't it? Just like Thomas when he was doubting. You don't even have to, you know, go to Christ and put his hand on the side and to actually look at the hand properly. He said, "My Lord and my God." And that is how it should be with us. When we cry out to God and God undertakes for us, and you just say, "Thank you, Lord. You are my Lord and you are my God." That's all it is. God wants to hear your voice. He wants you to cry out. Amen. He's a Father. He's an ever Father. He has a concern for how you go through life. Okay, so God reaches out there. Right, in Psalm 144:7, it says that, "Stretch forth your hand from above, rescue me and deliver me out of great waters and from the hands of hostile aliens." Right, Psalm 144:7. Good, the second point is, the hand of God is an open hand. Who knows that? Who knows that? Years ago, there was a bank. I don't know whether you know about it. It says that the bank has a motto. The bank has this catchphrase. It calls, "Your helping hand for life." Who remembers that? Your helping hand for life. You see, it goes way back. That bank, I don't think it exists anymore. And then, God is our helping hand for life. It's our helping hand for life. Right through and through. To this life, to the next life. And God is an open, God has an open hand and not a closed hand. You know, visualize it. What can you do with a closed hand? You can't do anything. So it can only be with an open hand. So when God touches you, when God blesses you, it's only with an open hand. You try to touch somebody with a closed hand, see what they feel like. The God might give you back another bunch of five because you come with a fist, you know. So you touch with an open hand, you don't touch with a closed hand. And likewise, God, in His passion, will come to you with an open hand. It's not with a closed fist. It's an open hand. And even when Christ died on the cross with outstretched arms, His hands, open hands, was nailed to the cross. Our salvation was given to us with an open hand. Hallelujah. Do you know that? So wonderful. So God comes to us with an open hand. Right. Psalm 145:16 says that you open your hand and satisfy every living thing of flavor. Wonderful. And also in Psalms 104:28, you open your hand and they are full of good things. It's only of good things, isn't it, when our Father comes to us. It's like our Father, especially when it's our birthday or on a special occasion. But most of the time, we encourage the fathers to give gifts to their family. Not for any occasion, but because they just love them. And so it comes with hands full of gifts. How wonderful that is. And likewise, our Heavenly Father wants good gifts for each and every one of us. You know, it comes to that. You must realize that therefore, your response is to run away from it. No, you run to it. Just like a child when he runs to the Father for the gift. And likewise for us, run to the Father. Run to the Father and receive those gifts. So it comes with an open hand. 3, God has a hand in every aspect of our lives. So from beginning to end, every aspect of our life, God has a hand in it. From the time that you were born to the time that you die, God has a hand in it. And I find it quite phenomenal, you know, like during the prayer meeting with Clem and them, that 1 Jeremiah 5, it says that God knew us even before we were formed in the womb. So God knew everything. So God has a hand in every aspect of our lives, even before we are born until the time we die. So important, you know. And 1 Jeremiah 5 was during Jeremiah the prophet. It says that, I knew you even before you were born. I sanctify you, that means set you apart. I ordain you as a prophet. Beautiful, eh? So God has a hand in every aspect of our lives. God even sort of like fashioned us fearfully and wonderfully. That's how He made us. Psalm 31:15 says, my time are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my foes and those who pursue me and persecute me. So our times are in God's hands. All right, which is more likely. I'd rather put my time in God's hand. Good. Are we winning? Are we getting there? Are we understanding? We see where I'm going to. Good. Mother Teresa is quite interesting, you know. Who knows Mother Teresa? You know, she's so humble and so wonderful, you know. And she referred herself as a pencil in God's hands. As a pencil in God's hands. You know, pencil is a powerful tool, right? You say, what is more powerful, the tongue or the pencil? You know, or the pen, as some people say. But Teresa knew that as she placed her life in God's hand, for God to fashion her life, and for God to direct her life, and for God to make her life. And that Mother Teresa did. She allowed God to run her life, you know, to move with her. And as you place yourself into God's hand, He will move. He will write your story. He will direct your path. Rather Him than you yourself. Because He knows you better than you know yourself. Isn't that a wonderful God? So, He is involved in every aspect of our life. Number 4, God's hands never leaves us. Doesn't God always tell us that He will never leave or forsake us? And yet we sometimes think that, you know, God, you said you're holding me, and yet I feel that I don't feel your presence. I don't feel your touch. Where are you? But God is always there for us. You know, He said, you'll never leave or forsake. It's up to us to respond in a positive manner, to know that something is not right. You know, have I departed from God? Have I gone too far away from Him? You know, in a relationship, it must be together, isn't it? It cannot be apart. A relationship is always together. And once you're apart, you do not feel that person next to you because you're too far apart. So you're alone. That's why it's so important that, like I say, in a dura family situation, you know, the family are knitted closer together, the 18 of them, you know, and they're willing to die for one another. And that's what it is. That's what friends are for, isn't it? That's what it is. So it says that you will never leave or forsake. And if you go to Isaiah 49, from verse 14 to 16, it says this, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. Verse 50, but can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the child, on the son of a womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. And then verse 16, see, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Hallelujah. So, we must say, or it says in Psalm 16:8, He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So as long as you have God alongside you, you have this confidence and you will not be shaken by what the world throws at you. Because He is at my right hand side. Right, point five. No one can pluck you out of God's hands. John 10:28-29. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. What does it mean? No man. That means no giant in this world. No Batman, no Superman. And also no woman. All right. So it's very important, you know, that you realize this. No one will be able to pluck you out of God's hand. Place yourself into God's hand. Reach out to God and put your hands in His hands. You remember there's a song, I think it was quite long ago. I don't know how far you guys goes with your salvation. How does it go again? Put your hands in the hands of the man who stole the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. And look at yourself and you'll see others differently by putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. You know, that's a nice, beautiful song. You know, we must put our hands in the hand of our Savior. Hallelujah. Okay. Number six. In His hand is your future. You know, the devil come and say you have no future. What do you do? How can you say I have no future? I remind you of your future, you say. And the devil comes and say, I remind you of your past. So you come and tell the devil, I remind you of your future. You know why? Because I and you and I, and those that know the Lord, can see tomorrow. Why? Because our future is in God's hands. I can face tomorrow because I know my future is in His hands. Hallelujah. It's so wonderful, you know, like if you can just chew on it, meditate on the Word of God, and just encourage yourself, you know that you don't have to worry about the future because, you know, everything is under control. Everything's under control. All right. God has everything under control. It's only us that makes things out of character, out of situations. Okay. It says in Daniel 2:21, and He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. So He's the one that will know our time. He's the one that will change our season. And also, He is in total and complete control. Right. Amen. Are we getting there still? Good. Last point I want to make with you is point number seven. He gave us His handbook. And who knows what that handbook is? It's a manual to us. Okay. It's also for the woman. Just not just because it's called manual doesn't mean it's not for women. He gave us His handbook, the Holy Bible. And BIBLC, I think most of you know, is Biblical Instructions Before, BIBLC. Come on, help me. Before leaving earth, yeah, that's it. So, you know, Christ is so wonderful, God is so wonderful that when His Son left the earth, you know, He didn't leave us as orphans. He leave us with a comforter, the Holy Spirit. And on top of it, much, much later, we get the full Bible, isn't it? So therefore, it encourages us, it strengthens us, it increases our faith. It's for us to meditate on God's word day and night. Not just once a Sunday or once a week, but day and night. Meditate on it. Because He will encourage you. He will tell you what to do, which path to take. And as God ministers into your life, because you are reading it, connect therewith. They say, Lord, thank you so much. You know, sometimes we come to prayer meetings, you know, you must be with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Come with thanksgiving and then make a petition before the Lord. All right. So it's important, you know, that we link in and draw near. Because if you draw near, God will draw near to you. And it's also wonderful that it touches our lives. God touches our lives. And He wants things. He wants the best things in life for us. Right. So, we are to be no longer handicapped. We are no longer to be handcuffed. All right. By this I mean that all power and all authority has been given unto you. And what must we do with this? We must lift up our hands, indicate to the enemy, and tell the devil, stop there. All right. We must be more violent nowadays, isn't it? Because the violence are taken by force. So we need to address the enemy. We need to say, stop. This, I'm drawing the line here. This is as far as you go. This is where the rubber hits the road. Devil, you and your demons, take your hands off my family. Take your hands off my business. Take your hands off my health. Take your hands off everything that involves me. We must do this. It must be violent. It must be determined. You know, you cannot pussyfoot around and speak nicely to the enemy, you know. You cannot. You know, that's the reason why sometimes you just need to give him a bunch of five, you know. Really, you know, you can do that, huh? You can do that. Give the enemy some medicine of your own. You know, we're taking so much already, but you must take it by violence, take it by force around us. You know, and tell him where he belongs. And that's so important. I don't know whether you can identify with me. We need to come back. We need to be in a situation where we need to be reestablishing our circumstances once again, coming back to basics. And I believe that God wants us to get to that the situation whereby, number one, he wants you to hold on to his hands. And number two is to put your hand in his hands. All right. So what does it mean? It means intimacy. The course that you are doing, agape road, there's a road that we are going, that we are on the right path, and then he shows us and directs us. And he shows that the enemy does come and distract you. He gives other roads, other paths, and whereby he stops you dead in your tracks sometimes. And sometimes we need to understand where the agape road is taking us. So therefore, this course is so wonderful and so good to us. And he tells us about intimacy. So God wants us to come back to basics sometimes, to come back to the first love. You know, sometimes we lost it. He wants us to come back to his first love, to be near him, to be where he is. So grab hold of God's hand. Put your hand in his hand. By putting your hand in his hand, it means that God wants to do something for you and for me. He wants to put the baton into your hand, passing the baton from him to you. And how's that done? You know, Christ has run this course on this earth for 3.5 years. He has showed us how to live a life, a good, a constructive, and wonderful, and holy, and righteous life. And by passing on this baton to us, we've now got a responsibility. God's hands is tied now. It's unto us. Our hands are to receive the baton and to run the course. That's how the word says we need to run our race with perseverance and to attain the prize. Attain the prize. So it's not how you start, it's how you finish off. So it's very important that as the baton is passed into your hands, you've got a responsibility now. That's how God wants you to make disciples of men, to preach the good news, then to bring the good news to the nation. So God, number one, wants us to come back to the first love. And number two, for us to do the works that he has instructed us to do. He has commissioned us. And most of you, or some of you, will identify with me. In the beginning, when we are courting, you know, it's so amazing that you only want to hold hands with a spouse. So that you've got this nice tingling feeling, this loving feeling, and you don't want to let go of those hands. Every time you meet, you like to hold hands. That was in the beginning, you know. That was when you find your love. And then as the years go by, you start a family. You find that one person is holding the baby and the other person is holding the nappy bags. So you don't hold hands any longer. You know? And then afterwards, when the kids are playing around, slightly grown up, you're busy working. So your hands are busy working, you know. You don't hold hands anymore. You know, the lovey-dovey is gone, you know. The atmosphere is no longer the same as before. But when the time has come, when everything has settled down, you have retired, your kids are grown up, married, you know, and then you're in that nice situation, and it's time to rekindle that love again by holding hands. You know, girl always tells me, he said, look at that lovely elderly couple, the holy hands, so romantic. And that's what God is trying to tell us, you know. We lost our first love. We need to rekindle our first love and hold hands again with God. You know, and then get back into that lovely feeling again. Especially those that you're tired, your children are no longer there, there's no excuse, or maybe your excuse is holding a grandchild, you know. But then it's not all the time. You get a lot of opportunity. So when you go around, you still hold hands, you know. So, because why? God wants you to do this. God wants you to come back to your first love. And I want to share to you before I close. Oh, finishing early today. Okay, that's not no problem. Jesus is calling us. And this is called hold my hands. Okay. It says that hold my hand and walk joyously with me through this day. Together we will savor the pleasures and endure the difficulties it brings. Be on the lookout for everything I prepared for you. Stunning scenery, bracing winds of adventure, cozy nooks for resting when you are weary, and much more. I am your guide, as well as your constant companion. I know every step of the journey ahead of you, all the way to heaven. You don't have to choose between staying close to me and staying on course. I am the way. Staying close to me is staying on course. As you focus your thoughts on me, I will guide you carefully along today's journey. Don't worry. Don't worry about what is around the bend and what is around the next bend. Just concentrate on enjoying my presence and staying in step with me. You see, as we today, next day, tomorrow, walk in the Spirit, we need to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit that indwells you is your guide, is your comforter, is a Spirit of truth, is a counselor. Allow Him free reign, knitting, and allow Him to show you the path. The Word says, this is the way, walk ye in it. So as you can see, this morning, and for tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, all aspects of your life, the touch of the hand of God is on you, on me, and on all the saints. Hallelujah. So wonderful, isn't it? So we are blessed. So as you begin to go back to the handbook, as you begin to meditate on the Word, as you begin to increase your faith by hearing the Word, all right? Look closely to the hand of God, to what it says. There's a lot. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time will exalt thee. God's hand is everywhere. You know? And that touch, that special touch, is so important, you know? All right. You remember that woman with the issue of blood? She said, if I can just but touch the hem, his hem, and I will be healed. Her faith is increased already, you know? Just by that, you know? So where's our faith, you know? We need to be faithful. We need to increase our faith and know where God is in our lives. So if you are separating or going cold or just lukewarm, you know, it doesn't matter. God wants it to come back to you. Like the prodigal son. The prodigal son realized in the end, you know, it's not about enjoyment, it's not about the world, it's not about him only. It's about family. It's about people. It's about relationship. And he made a U-turn and came back to the father. And what the father does, he doesn't reject him. He embraced him, you know. He gave him the best, made a party, gave him the cloak, gave him a ring, etc., etc., put sandals on him, clothed him totally and completely. That's how our father wants you to be, wants you to come back to him. So that he can continue to bless you, continue to give you the best. Sometimes we feel far away. Why? It's because of us. So sometimes we are our worst enemies. Like I was telling girl most of the time, she is her worst enemy because she allows things to happen which shouldn't happen at all. But allow the Father to bless you this morning. Amen? Good. Claude and girl, can you come up and we sing one more song?